now being dismantled with mail processing machines moving to Portland. The same group was arrested in July, occupying the Matheson Flight Extender plant, and has blockaded Dill Star Route Incorporated trucks multiple times, demanding that these companies stop stealing family wage union jobs. And this week, the protesters plan to occupy a Portland postal facility to protest privatization. So stay tuned. This brings us, wraps up our time here on Labor Radio. This has been Jamie Partridge, but let me mention to our listeners that you can participate by making a call to postal management, local postal management, to protest this contracting out privatization of the People's Postal Service. Call Erica Bricks, the district manager, at 503-294-2500, and Brenda Jackson, the trucking manager, 503-294-2402, and Lisa Shear, the mail processing and mail handling manager, 503-294-2206. And if you want to get involved or find out more information from Portland Communities and Postal Workers United, 503-752-5112. And that wraps it up for Labor Radio this Monday night and every Monday night at 6 p.m., the only radio show of its type in Oregon or Southwest Washington, of the working class, by the working class, for the working class. Thanks to our engineer, Danielle, and we'll see you next week. Stay tuned for Prison Pipeline.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Merrill Hurst University, dedicated to helping working adults revitalize their careers by offering 5 part-time MBAs, including an MBA in healthcare management with evening, weekend, and online options. Listeners can learn more at the information session on Thursday, November 7th at 6:30 p.m. Details can be found online at merrillhurst.edu. Please stay tuned for Prison Pipeline.
Muertos Northwest invites you to the 5th annual Dia de los Muertos celebration, Saturday, November 2nd, at the Audio Cinema, 226 Southeast Madison Street, Portland, under the Hawthorne Bridge. Celebration of life and death. Come help the spirits of your loved ones return with their favorite food, drinks, and plenty of dancing. Bring an item to add to the community altar. Muertos face painting for the young and old, sugar skull decorating, hot chocolate and pan dulce will be served. Come check out Mariachi Portland, Conjunto Alegre, and Rafa and the Deadliest Catch Band. Come for the Muertos, stay for the food, drinks, and dancing. Sponsored in part by KBOO, Tequila Cuervo, and Cover Oregon. Visit Facebook Muertos Northwest.
Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Hello and welcome. welcome. My name is Peter Pincel, and I am a co-host of Prison Pipeline on KBOO 90.7 FM here in Portland, Oregon. Thank you for joining us this evening. Tonight, I'm here with Martha Duncan Perez, a longtime advocate and person who's been involved with the Washington County Reentry Council. She was on our show last July, that's July 2012, and then in 2011, we had a past chair of the Washington County Reentry Council, Sharon Shannon. So this is sort of an annual update on what all's been going on with the Washington County Reentry Council. Martha, it's great to have you here in the studio. Thank you very much for being here. Quickly, why don't you introduce yourself and then introduce to us sort of a who, what, when, where, why, and how of the Washington County Reentry Council.
Sounds good. Peter, thank you for having us back. So when we touched in before, we did talk a little bit about the Reentry Council. And just to be clear, the Reentry Council is a community-based organization. And what it really is individuals, agencies, and organizations coming together to form sort of a coalition that are focused on the successful reentry of those folks who've been justice involved.
And so you guys must meet on a regular basis. How often do you meet or have you met in the past?
So historically, and we continue to meet every other month, starting in January. And what we do is just to remember it that way, our meetings are in the odd numbered months of the year. We do meet at the Community Corrections Center in Washington County. It's a public meeting, so anyone can join us.
Okay, great. And then so without getting into specifics of projects, which we will cover in just a moment during this show, why don't you tell us a little bit about what a meeting looks like?
So a meeting looks like it looks like providers. It looks like community activists. It looks like folks from corrections and law enforcement may be in the room. What we're most proud of is that the Washington County Reentry Council is primarily made up of people who are peers or people that have had the life experience of incarceration. One of the reasons we meet at the Community Corrections Center is that we really value the voice of the person who've had that lived experience in the room. So we do let folks know that if they're lodged at the Community Correction Center, they are welcome to come in the meeting as well.
Okay, then you get together and you share the current work of your organization, maybe some of the dreams or the desires of the individuals who are in the justice system. Does it look like maybe a couple of the individuals who are there presenting and then everyone getting together for discussion, or some more specifics, please?
So we do have presenters, and we may have a focus such as faith-based organizations who are reentry friendly. We might have mental health providers. We might have one of our presentations upcoming is around the Justice Reinvestment Grant. So anything that is really closely related to reentry. Sometimes I'll have presenters that will contact me with interest in presenting to our group. And sometimes it's just a vision of who we'd like to hear more from. So we invite those organizations in. The second half of our meeting really is about our committees, and our committees then share out what projects they're working on.
Great. So that's where the action comes in. And so we'll start off in this show a little bit with sharing what has gone on since last time you were on the show, some of the accomplishments. And then in the second half of the show, we will visit what's going on now and sort of what some of the futures are or some of the projects are in the near future. But just to recap what the Washington County Reentry Council looks like and does and some things along those lines. Community groups, community, and the community coming together to discuss the obstacles and problem of individuals reintegrating into the community, how we can help that out the best, and information sharing about current projects, and then planning on projects that are going to make that much more effective. Does that sound accurate?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, great. So I remember last year we had just touched on, you guys had just finished a brainstorming session on projects to be accomplished. Could you tell us what some of those projects were and what some of the results were from those projects?
Absolutely. So I came to the council in 2011 and worked within some of the committees. And then in 2012, I stepped into the chair position. A few months after that, we went into a brainstorming group, both in during a council meeting and then as a steering committee group. And we came out of that recognizing that we needed to build stronger relationships with faith-based organizations in our community. We also wanted to create some opportunity to see the residents that were inside the community correction center on a more one-on-one basis. So we did create and develop our monthly resident reentry meeting, which we continue to do. I think the biggest project was really around expungement in Oregon. And we started to take a look at that, realized it was really the big elephant in the room. Expungement in Oregon really doesn't exist. So we went ahead and handed off the legal piece of that to the Metropolitan Public Defender's Office and took a smaller bite of that big project in trying to move forward a bill that's now been signed into law around mugshots on the internet.
So to pause that for a second, for our listeners who might not be very familiar with the expungement process and what that even means exactly, could you introduce expungement and kind of what it means to everyone?
Expungement, as it was originally written, was sort of in the old day. And when you proved yourself to be law-abiding citizen, then you could go back to the court and you could walk through a process to apply and then pay the fees and see a judge and have you basically have your file sealed.
So an individual who's been committed of a crime after a certain amount of time and remaining crime-free during that certain amount of time, they are able to go back in front of a judge and get the presumably get the crime taken off or expunged from their record.
Right. And that's really how the law really reads right now. And as I said, in the old day, you could have your file sealed and it would go in a dusty little basement and people would not be able to see it anymore. Now that we're sort of in the age of the internet and all things electronic, that's not true. So right now in Oregon, it's really a set aside in which you see a judge and you still pay fees, but those convictions are set aside rather than basically wiped off of your record. It still comes up in background checks for employment and housing. So it's still really quite a barrier. And that's why we were looking at it as a project for the council to support, because we really want people to be able to go through that process and have the outcome that the law says that we should be able to have.
So what progress was made last year?
Well, again, what we did was we saw that it was really something that someone from legal expertise needed to look at much more closely and tease out how can we look at the law and hopefully have the law sustain that promise that someone's record would be wiped clean. So we handed it off to the Metropolitan Public Defender's Office, and then we took on the mugshots that are being sensationalized for extortion, basically, on the internet. And what happens is there's whole websites built on being able to pop up somebody's mugshot, and you'll see those little ads off to the side on Facebook, other places, where you can go take a look at your neighbor's background. Well, we were finding that there were a substantial amount of people that had a touch-in, but no conviction. Maybe it was through acquittal. Maybe it was dismissed completely. Nothing ever materialized out of the touch-in with the law enforcement. And yet they were still processed to the point of having a mugshot. So what would happen is they would have an employer or a potential creditor or something who would have an adverse effect on their interaction with applying for credit or a house or employment, and they wouldn't find out why. And then they would find out later that maybe the employer was looking on an internet search for them, and their mugshot would be the first thing that would come up. In contacting those websites, these individuals would then be told for hundreds of dollars that photo would be removed, only to find out that potentially they were talking to a company that was the parent company over several websites, so then it would turn into many more hundreds of dollars. And so we felt this was just basically extortion and sensationalism, especially for those people who did not come to conviction.
And so what progress was made on that?
A couple of us from myself and a couple of the people from the Reentry Council went down to Salem and testified. And eventually the governor did sign into law basically a bit of a watered down version of what we were hoping for. But it was House Bill 3467, which is called the Mugshot Bill. And so if you've had acquittal or dismissal events in which you were processed and it resulted in a mugshot, you can contact those companies in writing and they have to remove that mugshot for free.
Well, this sounds like an issue that we're going to need to discuss a little bit more heavily and to discuss about what's going on now and for the future of the Washington County Reentry Council. Right now, we're about to take a quick break, just about 2 minutes, a musical interlude. But I want our audience to stick with us because this is heavy stuff. And thank you very much for being here. This is Martha Duncan Perez with us tonight from the Washington County Reentry Council. I'm your host, Peter Pincel. You're listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO 90.7 FM. Stick around.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
And welcome back. We're here tonight on Prison Pipeline on KBOO 90.7 FM. This is Peter Pincel, your host, and we're here with Martha Duncan Perez, the chair of the Washington County Reentry Council. She has a quick message to our audience before we jump back into talking about the Washington County Reentry Council's brainstorming process, in particular about the gigantic important subject of expungement here in Oregon. Martha, what do you have to say?
Well, just to follow up on our first brainstorming, what we've done again over this last year, along with the monthly resident reentry council meeting at the Community Corrections Center, we've also established two things that I'm very proud of. One is a post office box specific to the council. And again, we're not, although we have a very strong and lengthy relationship with corrections, we are community-based, meaning that we are our own entity. So we have a post office box that's been set aside. It's P.O. Box 463, Hillsboro, Oregon, 97123. And that affords people that do not have internet access, maybe they're restricted to computers or internet access, an opportunity to reach out to us. We have received some letters, and we're starting a letter-writing campaign back to some folks that have reached out to us via that P.O. Box. The other thing is that we spent the summer looking at different mental health providers, and we learned about a place called Comfort Zone, which is for people who've struggled with some mental health illness issues, but it's a place for them to socialize and get a warm meal. And so that looks very much like it does for folk time here in Multnomah County. So two things. I want a quick shout out to the LIFT program for the ladies at Coffee Creek. Yay, you guys are awesome. Keep the letters coming to us. The second would be our Dual Diagnosis Anonymous meeting at the Community Correction Center. We started with a kickoff in August of 25 people. As of last week, we were up to 46. So a shout out to the Altered States Roar meeting at the for DDA at the Community Corrections Center.
Great. So post office box is an accomplishment, and a dual diagnosis group, mm-hmm. accomplishment of the Washington County Reentry Council. More information on both of those things will be on our website at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline, along with links to the Washington County Reentry Council website. Now to jump back into it, let's talk a little bit about the brainstorming that's going on with the Washington County Reentry Council now and what projects look like for the future, in particular, the expungement process. What do you say?
Well, yeah, we are now at a place where we're going to be going into a brainstorming meeting to at the end of this month to vision for what we're going to be doing in 2014. The brainstorming session will pick up on expungement as well as some programs that are going to be tightly interwoven with that. So expungement for us, we're going to continue to put a lot of effort behind this. We really feel that that expungement is something that should be followed by the rule of the law as it's written, but also because it's an opportunity for somebody to move forward and remove some barriers in their life. I feel that a criminal conviction is the new glass ceiling. I know that I have 3 college degrees. I have great experience. I have great skills. But I found that most of the time, the place I can get a job is either the front desk or an office assistant, something to that effect that really really doesn't speak to all of the skills and abilities that I have, but it's the one place that I'm accepted with my criminal history. And then the glass ceiling kind of kicks in. You see I've had other departments approach me, and then later I was told that the HR department would not allow me to be hired on up the chain of that organization. So that being said, a couple of the projects we're going to have is expungement. We're also going to be working on, we're going to be picking back up and breathing life into a program that we were developing throughout 2011, 2012. We had named it Next Step, and it looks quite a bit like the Clean Slate program here in Multnomah County, with the one exception that Next Step in Washington County would be focused specifically on regaining driving privileges so that you're more employable. And less on the total package that is clean slate of expungement and driving privileges and all those things. With those two projects, what we realize is that we have a population we're trying to serve that deserves to remove some barriers. There are other marginalized populations out there that are experiencing the same kind of things that are being moved forward in different ways. So we're looking for some kind of equality with our population that we serve.
Yeah, and so a population that comes to mind when you mention that, marginalized populations that are perhaps being that are kind of in the spotlight right now and receiving some attention politically anyway, individuals who are in the country illegally, and I know on the national stage there's a lot of effort being made for an easier path to citizenship or something along those lines, because these are individuals who would be valuable contributors to our economic system, and they're just not being given the chance. Is that kind of is that a good comparison to make between them and the people we're talking about?
Absolutely. That is the population we're looking at as a comparison for our group, in that both are needing to remove some barriers around employment, housing, driving privileges, those kind of things. One population is in a prison of their own, where they're continuing to need to make the choice to break the law, just to continue to survive, unfortunately. With our population, we're looking at people who have made a mistake, and so they have a conviction record of that mistake. In some cases, those folks, especially in terms of expungement, you need to prove that you're eligible for these things by not having had any touch-in with the criminal justice system. So no offense for a minimum of 3 years to be eligible for expungement or for this program that we're hoping to develop called Next Step around driving privileges. So absolutely. And what I can say about both, and that's why we look at both in terms of just using those for a comparison, is that both are really weighted down in shame. And again, those barriers that stop you from moving forward and just being a really safe, productive piece of your community. If you have these constant and permanent barriers, you really are more likely to reoffend if you're in our population with a prior conviction. So, in terms of equality, we want to move it forward and say, let's make a true expungement in Oregon, where if you're eligible at that 3-year mark, at that 10-year mark, you can go in front of a judge and prove that you've become eligible, and you can pay those fees and fines and truly have a record that's been vaporized, so that that's not that glass ceiling hanging over you anymore. And again, gosh, if you can remove fees and fines away from somebody struggling to get their driving privileges back, that person becomes just exponentially more employable.
Absolutely. So big picture, what we're looking at right now, we're living in a stark economy, an economy that's struggling to recover. And there's enormous groups of individuals who are being marginalized, who are being literally taken out of the labor pool by either criminal convictions that are hampering them on that from the past, or other barriers. And it's not only the right thing to do to allow these individuals to begin engaging again for their mental health and for their functionality and whatever else, but also it's advantageous to our economy, because these are people who are going to be bringing talents, skills, and abilities. And it really makes less sense to be throwing money away on on housing them in a place that is required for them to stay, if you kind of know where I'm going with that. And it makes more sense to making them back into productive citizens who are taxpayers, and they're not going to weigh down on our tax revenue, and instead they'll be able to contribute. And there are, of course, many more intricacies than that. So that's where, in part, I think the Washington County Rancher Council expungement efforts and next step are going. So tell me more specifically, what's up with the expungement process? What are you guys doing now?
So we've been back to the table to talk to Metropolitan Public Defender's Office and a couple of other key players to just learn how we can piece this out, you know, how we can sort of tease it away from the, of course, First Amendment rights, freedom of speech. Do people have a right to know these kind of things, and weigh that against the right of a person who's paid the price for a mistake, who carries that conviction with them? When does that stop becoming a life sentence for that person? When is it time to let them then walk free and you kind of shake off the shame and move forward? And, you know, a lot of people start out the trauma that leads to a criminal conviction around events in their life that was based in shame and trauma. So how can we stop that process from re-victimizing this person over and over? So I think expungement is extremely important. The way we look at people's criminal convictions or expungement in other states looks quite differently than Oregon. So Oregon has an opportunity to continue to be on the front line and show that we are innovators in how we move people forward out of shame and out of, you know, those kind of barriers in their life. And we've done so, especially in Washington County and Multnomah County. So I'd like to see that continue to happen. I have a couple of other programs that we're going to be working on. And you touched on employability. And we're, of course, some of those things that I had just mentioned, expungement and maybe a program to remove barriers around driving privileges, are all about making people more employable for the most part. So one of the other programs we're going to be looking at is how can we establish an alternative staffing agency. So the model would look like a staffing agency that was sort of like where you have a company that comes together and people that have convictions come there, and then they do background checks within that staffing agency. They do all the things that they need to do, resume, whatever it might be. So that staffing agency looks like many, where you would get a temporary job or some consulting jobs. But this one would be specific to them being your advocate, your cheerleader that went out and developed relationships with employers, rather than that one individual with a criminal history trying to go out and figure out which employer would be most open to seeing my skills and ability rather than my past mistake. So then employers wouldn't have to be on those nasty lists that everyone doesn't want to talk about. And some people would call a felony-friendly list. And we know that there are convictions out there that are sometimes worse than a felony. Petty theft, for instance, there's a long list of jobs that you're no longer eligible for, and it's certainly not at a felony level. So when you use term felony friendly, first, it's archaic. Second, no one wants to be on that list, especially an employer. So we want to move away from that model where someone's trying to put together this list of where a person might go, and maybe center that into a staffing agency that then does all the legwork and creates those relationships. So when an employer needs a qualified pool of candidates, they would ask that staffing agency, who do you have? And then the communication at the point of offering the position would then be between the staffing agency and the employer as to whether or not the background check would be an issue for that particular candidate. So we're going to start moving back away from looking at the mistake first into looking at a qualified pool of candidates that have great skill, great ability, great motivation, great experience, and see those as the people that we reach in and employ.
Awesome. And so for the second project you were going to mention?
So we're also looking at creating a sort of a coalition in Washington County that are focusing on transitional housing for marginalized populations. And when we say marginalized, we're looking at those people. We know that we right now are pretty saturated with clean and sober housing. We have some domestic violence housing, things like that. But when we look at Washington County, what we really don't have is, for instance, we've had several women come forward that are white-collar crime, that don't identify as drug and alcohol treatment needed or domestic violence. And so we don't have anywhere to house them when they're in immediate need for transitional housing, when they're returning to community. We also are looking at folks that are not, like I said, not the square peg in the square hole, but rather someone that falls outside of that typical recovery housing or faith-based housing. And that would include the sex offender population. And what I know about all these programs, Peter, is that, you know, with House Bill 3194 and the mandate to reduce prison populations, people are not going to stop offending. And so we have to be a little more creative, realizing that folks in the community are going to make mistakes that may lead to incarceration and then reentry to the same community. And the incarceration piece will continue to happen at a higher rate at the local level. Instead of being sent to a prison where you're going to be able to receive more programming, you're going to be held at a local level, probably in a county jail or in some type of alternative sentencing, and then reenter your community. And so we're going to need to be more creative at the local level in our counties at looking at the programming that we have and then stretching that out just a little bit with the dollars to say, where are those marginalized populations that we're not serving now? Because they're going to continue to increase for us.
Most definitely. So, Martha, you mentioned House Bill 3194. That's going to be a subject that we'll cover on a future prison pipeline, because that's going to be very important, I have a feeling. We're just about out of time here this evening. Martha, I know that you said the Washington County Reentry Council is a community-based organization. I know there's people out there listening to us that want to get involved in this. How can people get involved in 2 minutes or less?
First of all, we are completely volunteer, 100% volunteer. If you have a heart for reentry, whether it be through a faith-based perspective, if you're from drug and alcohol and recovery community, which is awesome. Again, shout out to the Celebrate Recovery out in Forest Grove, to Light My Way services in both in Hillsborough and other locations. But we have really, really great organizations and individuals that are interested in seeing that individual, not for their mistake, but just genuinely their heart and who they are. And if that's you, then